Shane McMahon.
Here we go. Money talks. Here comes the money.
You and your husband, Triple H, have been really running this company into the ground. Let's take a few indicators. Let's look at the stock. Let's look at ratings. Let's look at the plethora of talent injuries, all under your watch, under your auspices, down into the ground.
All right, man. Here comes the money, Pop?
Certainly, or at least I think that's what the WWE is hoping for.
Welcome back, everyone, to the number one bi-weekly pro wrestling podcast and you know, in the world today.
Which could change.
Well, hopefully it will change, but you know, it's always fun to do still. Here I am with Dario Pop Passarelli in the booth. I'm your host, Alexander K. Lee, aka Big Al, and you know, shout outs to the most beautiful man in the professional wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorian. He will join us again soon.
We miss him,
of course. Everyone misses him,
and we miss all of you. So good morning, afternoon, evening, night,
whatever
it is you're listening to.
Hope you're having a nice drive. Sure, you listen to us in the drive to work at some point.
Watch that car.
Yeah, sorry, watch out. Oh,
I thought I'd save people's lives. That's what I tried to do.
That was close. Before we get to our usual
ranting
about Raw or WWE, what have you, let's start off with something positive. Positive and negative is going to be a theme of the show today. So let's start off with a big positive. Pop, you and the boys and a friend of yours went to go see the latest big Smash Wrestling show. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's called Fateful Eight, and there were six of us, and it was fantastic. My son's friends brought their dad along with them as well, all wrestling fans, and they got to see independent wrestling for the first time. So it was really cool for me because it's been actually about a year for me, first time I saw independent wrestling, and to see the enjoyment coming from them was fantastic. And it was a great card, fantastic matches. May have been a little bit too long, which I'll get into later.
Okay.
But the tournament itself started off with all eight teams in the ring. And that include the Well-Oiled Machines, mm-hmm. Fraternity, Super Smash Brothers, Rockstar Pro, Tabernacle Team. Oh, my God, I said that on the radio. Tyson and Tornado, TNT. And the Overdogs, obviously. And one team that was supposed to be there, the Wolves. Unfortunately, Davey was hurt. Not too shabby of a replacement for Eddie Edwards' partner, and that was one Mr. Chris Hero, who we're all familiar with. So I said, great lineup from the tag team perspective. Follow through, there was a match between Frankie the Mobster and Candice LeRae.
Tell us about that, please. We all love Candice. I don't know a lot about Frankie the Mobster, but how was the match?
The match itself was scary, as one would expect, and for a couple of reasons. I'm not sure in terms of how long they've had to work one another. There's one or two spots where there's a little bit of gasp that you worry that they got, you know, whether they got hurt or not. But you know Candice, she is a fantastic wrestler and tough as they come in those small packages. I think at one point she was outside on the ring and Frankie the Mobster, who's, I'm not sure if you've seen the pictures from their website, he's a pretty well-built guy.
He's a mean-looking dude.
He ran back and dove through the ropes straight onto her. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we know how small Candice LeRae is, but she took a nasty bump there and was just fantastic in terms of doing it. But we've seen her wrestle Johnny Gargano before. We know how well she does in these intergender matches. It was just, you know, how is she going to do with somebody the size of Frankie the Mobster? And it's my first time seeing him. He's from the Montreal area, I believe, out of Quebec. Lots of fun. You wouldn't expect that from somebody named like Frankie the Mobster, but his whole premise the entire match was he started off, you know, when you're trying to do the handshake, you know, the bad guy always first, right? You don't trust him, but in his voice, I'm trying to be nice. And then he would power into the corner, and as he's has her into the corner, he would just use both of his hands, you know, pat down her hair, and the crowd would be screaming out, you know, This is weird. And he would turn to him and goes, but she's got such lovely hair. You know, like just very well in terms of playing with the audience. Fantastic. And even at the end of it, Gave props to Candice for being able to stick in there. He did wind up winning the match, but saying, you know, positive things. Like, you know, if anybody ever says that he hits like a girl, they'll take it as a compliment kind of thing, and really propped her up. Again, super match. So happy to hear that Smash Wrestling is bringing him back. And I'm not mistaken in terms of which day, because they have so many coming up. But he will be back in the Toronto area soon, probably within the next month, if I'm not mistaken. So that was cool.
He won the match. Is that correct?
He did win the match.
Was it like a roll up? Was it a dirty pin?
No. It was clean. It was clean. I'm trying to remember now exactly in terms of what his finishing move was.
Something high impact.
Something high impact, dang. Obviously. And you know, Candice took it. What can you say?
What else you got for me, Pop?
One of the other matches before I get into the I'll end with the tournament. Mike Bailey was going after the championship match against Johnny Gargano, and a fantastic match. If anybody who hasn't seen Bailey, quick on his feet.
Mike Bailey, not NXT Bailey.
Yes. Mike Bailey, very quick on his feet, comes out in a karate uniform. He even did one of those flips off the walls. Like, yes, I said wall in a wrestling ring, but he did. They both ventured outside. Johnny Gargano did win at the end. Obviously, a little cheating, a little help from Tarek. Over and all, I would like to see Bailey wrestle again. Like I said, he can more of a, not high flyer, but very acrobatic, high flip kind of moves that he put on there and worked well with Gargano. Now, the ending with Tarek's help kind of changed things. And I'm wondering if we've just seen the end of Fourth Gun. I mean, I know with movements going on back and forth.
Right.
But finally, you know, Gargano went up and saying how he's done everything himself and Tarek's had enough. So I believe at their North Bay show or London show, Tarek has actually challenged Johnny Gargano for the belt. So we may have just seen the ending there, like I mentioned, of Fourth Gun.
Or we're getting a finger poke of doom.
Or the finger point of doom. Once I doubt they're going to go that far.
How did Kevin Bennett do? How did crossover superstar Kevin Bennett do?
And well, there's and here's the part where I think what started going too long, because he had these little vignettes. It was great to see Andy Williams there from Every Time
Yes,
I Die.
Yes.
That set up a match with Tarek, who came out there for Any Given Sunday. So they'll be wrestling against each other. There was another vignette came up with Kevin Bennett, the Remix, who came out with two of his bodyguards and tried to do a song, and Brent Banks came out, which led to a match.
Did he actually get to start the song at all? Or
he did get to start the song.
How was it?
Brent Banks came in, interrupted, thankfully.
All right.
But again, I think it was just one of those things that if it was possible maybe to do without one of those two vignettes, it would have been, I think, a lot better.
We'll have to talk to Suave next time we get him in here and
I said it was just
give
just
him some pointers about
it just
pacing.
Felt a little long there.
Come on, Suave.
That's all. Just saying that.
What's the Andy Williams band name again?
Every Time I Die.
I'm sorry. It's every time you say it, it makes me shudder because it's a little too similar to A Day to Remember with who, you know, Kevin Scaff and my dear Paige. Wait, is this relationship over? Oh wait, I'm just looking at her Wikipedia entry. Okay, no harm done. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Paige hasn't even been on the show, and she's still fixated in your
mind. I don't even know that. Like, in my mind, she's on every show I watch.
In your mind, she's a star of every show.
I think she's on Fuller House in my mind. Like,
yeah, there's obviously two reasons why you watch Fuller House. Anyways,
well, what?
Never mind. We won't go there.
You'll explain it to me when I'm older?
Yes, I definitely will there.
So how about the tag action?
So the tag action was really good. Each match had its own little style. Very, very quickly, the Well-Oiled Machines, they beat the Fraternity. Super Smash Brothers beat Rockstar Pro. Had a bit of confusion with this one. TDT, mm-hmm. Tabernacle D-Team,
yep.
Beat TNT,
yep.
Tornado and Tyson. So when the crowd started chanting TNT, TDT, it just got really a little confusing there. Great
and
start.
And then you started chanting TIT.
No. No, I'm
oh,
not
the
like
kids were
that.
There. I'm sorry.
You're thinking about Paige again, aren't you?
The kids were there.
Yes. But the Tabernacle team, again, first time seeing them from Montreal, come out looking like lumberjacks. Lots of fun. And them and Tyson and Tornado put on a great show. I think the first 5 minutes of the match, they didn't even make it inside the ring yet. They were all, both teams, both partners, like, I mean, just wrestling against each other all around the ring. And so it was a lot of fun, especially for the boys, seeing it up close.
You had front rows this time. Did you have
front rows? We had front rows.
Finally.
Had to shut out front row seats.
Yes.
Had to move from my... I misunderstood Tyson.
Oh,
I
no.
I was at an event about 7 or 8 months ago.
You blew the spot.
I blew the spot. I was at an event 7 or 8 months ago, and Tyson was fighting Tarek, and they came in to the second, third row, and I had gotten up, and he put Tarek on my chair and was about to give him a chop when he looked at me, and he just said, "Thank you," right? It was a special moment for me watching, you know, and saying, "Thank you for giving up the chair." So when he came around the corner there, and he had one of the members of Tabernacle team TDT. By the head, and I thought he said, "Move your boot."
Oh, no.
As in, like, move your booty. And so I got up from the chair, and my friend got up from the chair.
Oh, no.
But what he said was, "Give me your boot."
Yeah, or lift your boot up, yeah.
So I missed it, my opportunity.
You could have kicked.
I could have had somebody's head go into my foot.
Oh, no, because he did the same thing for me. This was like last year, and I also didn't hear him that well at first. I think I was with Paulo. I think it was Paulo who thankfully clarified for me, because I didn't even hear. Like, at least you heard something about boot or booty. I was like, did he yell at me? And then I think Paulo was like, "Raise your boot," and then sure enough, and I think it was poor Tarek, I think, that tasted boot leather that day. So I apologize, Tarek, but you know, you'll be prepared next time.
I'll be prepared next time, and you know, the person beside me, they got a thrill, so.
He should have got one of the kids.
I was being kind.
He should have got one of the kids. Your son Alex. Your son Alex. He's a violent guy.
Unfortunately, they were in a different side. They were halfway down the row, okay, so they weren't sitting beside
me.
He
probably would have stabbed one of the Tabernacle team guys.
Yeah, my Alex is a little violent there. Do I get to do more?
What else do you got? How was everyone else?
And then the finale was the...
Oh, what about the other tag?
The last tag was
about...
the Overdogs lost to Chris Hero and Eddie Edwards.
Yep.
And... since we're on the subject of the Wolves from TNA, they are currently the TNA champions and five-time tag team champions.
Holy crap.
In TNA. Well, I'm not sure about currently because, unfortunately, David Richards was hurt and couldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned earlier, Chris Hero had to fill in. But I haven't spoken to you about this since, and I've got some good news and some bad news.
Give me the good news first. Give me the good news first.
Well, it's actually all in the same thing.
Okay.
It looks like the Wolves have signed a one-way deal with TNA, which means they are no longer, at least not for the foreseeable future, going to be wrestling for Smash or any other independent wrestling. So, yes, very, very sad. Great news for them. They deserve it. They're a fantastic team. But sad news for the rest of us that watch indie and want to see them come by.
I think we saw their debut. I think you were with me when they debuted with Smash, and they wrestled. I think it was Gulak and Busek, I think?
Yes.
And that was awesome.
A fantastic
that match.
That
was awesome. So, yeah, you know, we got to see them a few times. Very, very grateful. And like you said, good luck to them. And, you know, congrats to them. And hopefully this TNA thing keeps going.
And keeps moving. And in terms of moving, progressing, I kind of had an idea who I thought would win the tag team tournament.
Who did you pick?
And I picked the champions. They're a young, up-and-coming team, and I think they have...
Wait, you picked... So who's that?
Well, I'm going to tell you who I picked. Well, if I tell you now who they picked, then you're going to find out
won. Oh, you're saying you picked the right team.
I picked the right team. This is beforehand, and I have, you know, my friend's dad proof that I told him ahead of time who I thought would win. I think they're a young, up-and-coming team. I think they have great potential. And when you have a manager, which is a lost art form, by the way, I mean, I think right now only Paul Heyman's doing a really good job of it. But when you have a manager like Cherry Bomb, I think there's a lot of good things happening for the well-oiled machines in the future. And sure enough, they won.
They're about being Mike Rollins and Pepper.
Pepper Parks.
Pepper Parks.
They've improved their wrestling. And Pepper's been in there for a while, but a great show that they put on. And Cherry always puts on a great show. Which leads to the very ending of the night.
Tell me, what seeds did they sow, good sir?
Well, they already told you about the Tarek Gargano match, the Tarek Andy Williams match, but the big one. This has been a story that's been going on for nearly a year, I would say, which got lengthened, and I think actually to the benefit due to the injury. But Cherry Bomb, as of March 1st, has finally been cleared to wrestle. And we know that the tension between her and Courtney Rush is like splitting hairs. pun intended. And finally, Any Given Sunday, Cherry Bomb versus Courtney Rush / Rosemary. Should be a phenomenal match, and I can't wait to see that happen.
Yeah, they've built it up. It's been building up for a long time.
Exactly.
A real build.
And a real build. Gee, when was the last time we saw a wrestling promotion do that, eh?
Well, we'll have some nice things to say in that regard later.
So all in all, like I said, the matches were fantastic. A great experience coming from my kids' friends and their dad. They even loved the intermission. They had a chance to take pictures with Johnny Gargano and the belt. They fell in love with John Greed of the Overdogs. It was a great time had by all. And again, it was just a little bit too long. It was understandable because of all the matches and events that they have coming up, that they really had a lot of things to promo. So it was almost like, I think, close to 4 hours, the whole event.
That's really long.
Yeah, especially when you start at 8.
Now, did they do like, it started at 8 p.m. You guys were there past, the kids were there way past their bedtime, is what you're telling me.
Yes, I was there past my bedtime.
How was the intermission? Did they announce a new, like, I know that we talk every week about sort of, or at least a few weeks ago, we talked about all the stuff they have coming out. Anything new? Any new big announcements at halftime?
Other than, I said, it was the mention of all those matches that are coming through. Mm-hmm. They did take a moment to thank, I think it's the, you may know this better than I am, the Weekly podcast for all their help.
I think Wrestling Weekly podcast Wrestling podcast, WWP.
WWP. That have been helping them out.
You can find them on Twitter, yeah.
After Greed and Sebastian Suave, the Overdogs, lost, they brought him in there for a Summer's Bee drink, and they got the appropriate round of applause that they deserve. But other than that, they did mention in terms of their Infinity shows coming up, as well as Any Given Sunday, Fanshawe, North Bay, London. Wow, eh? They're really putting it on.
Man, I hope to catch some action soon. You know, my weekends are a bit...
You're getting me upset.
Aren't flexible. I know,
because I'm forced to go by myself to these things now.
I blame Suave, because ever since we brought him in, I haven't been to a show. So, I don't know. You draw a connection there somehow.
That's on you, man.
Is it, though?
Yes, it is. It is. You're the kind of person that just loves the chase. And now that, you know, you had not only...
Yeah,
him. It's like it's not anymore.
Exactly. We brought him here.
The challenge for you is gone.
Why do I need to go out to see Suave now? We brought him here. I want to do a little shout out to Kirk Warmack. I don't know if you heard recently. I believe Kirk Warmack is retiring.
Yes, I saw that.
I don't know if there's some sort of storyline.
From the Goat Brigade, is that correct?
Yes. He always struck me. Again, I don't know his age. He always struck me as a young guy. I could be wrong. He might be like 52 years old. I don't know. I don't think so. If he is retiring, I just want to say, he has been a Smash Wrestling staple. I've always enjoyed his work. And, you know, happy trails. And again, hopefully I'll be available to. I don't know if his retirement match is going to be with Smash Wrestling. But, you know, wherever it is, maybe we'll get a chance to see that. But he's always seemed like a good dude.
Yeah, I just had a very brief encounter. I saw one or two matches and really thought that there was something happening there with the Goat Brigade. So best of luck to you.
What is the next card? You said... I see there's an Infinity taping coming up.
I think March 6th.
I see that there's Brock. Brock's going to get smashed again. That's becoming a pretty common thing.
Is that March 11th?
I don't have the dates here. I believe it is the 11th, yes.
I know there's one coming 11th because, unfortunately, I won't be able to.
I'd love to go to one of these smaller... one of these non... tent pole event. Would that be a good way to call, like, Fateful Eight, things like Fateful Eight and, like, Super... Showdown, things like that. Those like tent pole events, right? You know what I mean?
Well, I just like to call them like Etobicoke events because they're in the same venue.
That's a good point. That actually probably is the best way. Yeah.
Thank you. Like they're home. Based.
They're home. Okay, they're home event. Home.
What I would like to consider home their home. Yes. Home
but yeah, I'd love to definitely. We should check out Infinity Taping. We should check out I keep saying these things, but when I have a free weekend, the good thing that they have so many shows now is that like there's almost no excuse not to find a weekend to go.
Yeah, but you'll find one.
I will find one. Yeah, it's Swall's fault.
You boycotted Raw. I mean, like,
oh gosh, and I may have to. You had to segue into it.
Well, we know we were going to, and you know what? I may be joining you.
We're not going to dwell on it too much. This week's Raw was horrible. It was just. It was everything that's wrong with Raws that we don't like. It was boring. The booking made no sense. It was long. There was a lot of replays of last week's Shane McMahon stuff.
And It shouldn't be the case when you have The Undertaker making his yearly appearance to set up WrestleMania, and he comes out, and I missed it because it was like 3.5 seconds long.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't miss much, though, Pop. I'll tell you, you did not miss much.
Like, his entrance was forever.
His entrance was obviously forever, yeah.
And he come up, and he said, you know what I'm going to do to him, and left.
I felt, this is why I feel like I had to boycott, because again, and I say boycott, I just mean I'm just, at this point, I just don't even want to watch anymore. Like, you know, the boycott, there was moments where like, I heard the show was good that week and I at least like was tempted to, oh, maybe I'll check out the episode. Now I'm just losing interest completely. And the thing with the Taker thing was, I had stuck around specifically to see Taker. I like Taker a lot. I love the entrance. I love watching the entrance. But that was about as bad as you could handle his appearance. Like you said, very short. And explained nothing.
It didn't add to the few, which, if we want to get onto, do you want to start the positives and negatives now? Because we can start with that. Or do you have something else that you want to get onto?
Well, are you going to say a positive or a negative?
Negative.
Okay. I'm keeping a tally.
Oh,
I'll
keeping a tally.
I'll let you know how we do at the end. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a positive. I wish I had a great reason to buy into Taker versus Shane McMahon.
Well, you know, I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt because they started last week. It was very exciting to see Shane back. And I said, okay, there's 6 weeks to build. So now they've wasted 1 week. Now, 5 weeks is still a lot of time. But based on how they used this week, it's very discouraging. That's literally a week of build for this feud. Waste. Gone.
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 Can't get back. Yeah. Is this a face versus face? Because we all know Undertaker's been the face for the longest of time. I don't understand.
Yeah, are we supposed to be rooting to see Undertaker lose at Mania? Because nobody does that. But at the same time, aren't we rooting for Shane to win so he can take Raw away from the evil authority or what have you? Like, it's very confusing. And again, it's Thursday now. Monday's appearance could have gone a long way towards fixing some of that.
Explaining some of that, maybe.
Do you watch the show Futurama?
Bits and pieces.
This is an episode where they go to this alien guy's planet and like... His whole plan is submerged in water, and like at the end of the episode, it's just to write off this plot line. Like his house burns down, and then obviously it makes no sense. You know they're all underwater, and then one of the guys goes, the robot Bender goes like, oh, someone left this match here, and then someone else goes like, that just raises more questions. So that was what the Undertaker segment was like.
And you're right, but there are times when raising more questions is a good thing.
Yes.
This ain't one of them. This ain't one of them.
They only have 5 weeks, and they're trying to sell out the biggest venue in WrestleMania history.
Can it get better? Can it be a positive? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think having the idea of, you know, Shane versus The Undertaker, you know, it could be probably something stupid at the end that Shane does a double swerve. Who knows? It could be that, you know, Taker loses on purpose for whatever reason. Like, there's so many things that can happen to it. But I'm nowhere near invested yet.
Yeah. I still think Cena's coming back. I know people have told me I think it's medically impossible for him to come back. I don't know how they know that, but that's what people are telling me. I don't believe it. I think he'll be back. I think he's going to be the surrogate for Shane. Or, fingers crossed, because the guy doesn't have anything to do yet, Kevin Owens? I don't know how you explain that. But oh, well, he'll do anything for money, so there you go. But Kevin Owens?
We know what kind of a match that would do. Kevin Owens can make The Undertaker look good at this age.
That'd be amazing.
It would be, but I don't see. I still think they're going to feud him with Dolph.
Dolph?
Did he? Well, he beat him just
he
once,
beat him
right?
Already, yeah. Yeah. And now he's kind of feuding with Big Show, but I pray that is not leading up to a WrestleMania match. Oh.
Okay, so I have
So there's one negative.
I have a negative which still has the opportunity to turn into a positive.
Can I throw out a positive?
Yes.
Okay, and this is a really interesting positive because I can't stand this person otherwise, but I don't mind the theme song of WrestleMania, My House by Flo Rida.
I haven't heard it.
We'll put it on, and then we'll put it, I'll snip it in. It's...
Hold on a second, because... No, I don't like it.
It is. Look, I don't like Flo Rida at all, other than him getting destroyed by Bo Rida in a freestyle competition a few weeks ago, which was hilarious. He's not a rapper, okay, by any means. That's what made that competition so funny. But it's not a bad tune. It's catchy, and as far as pay-per-view team themes go, it's serviceable. No, that's a nice thing I had to say about both Flo Rida and the WWE.
That's a first for you. Like,
oh,
literally.
Yeah. I can't stand Flo Rida. That's it. That was it. That's my positive.
That's your positive?
Yeah, that's one. So we're the problem is I'm keeping a tally, but it's not like, you know, the scores aren't weighted. So I'm counting a decent Flo Rida theme as equal to a horrible build to Shane McMahon Taker so far. So, you know, you viewers at home, do the math yourself, maybe.
Okay. For the matches that we do know for sure that are mm-hmm. taking place, you know, I am okay with Brock Dean. I think that Dean is a different kind of opponent that Brock hasn't faced before. And I like the fact that right now nobody's given him a chance to win, and he shouldn't have a chance to win. The only way he can win is if it's a no disqualification match and he brings out...
Yeah, which like, it will be.
Which it will be. I think did they announce it already?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No. I think it's not a no falls... Anyways. But I do think that they can make that into a great match, and I'm looking forward to it.
I think he should lose, though.
Who should lose?
Ambrose.
Oh, I didn't even think that was a question.
Oh, you think he's definitely going to lose?
How can you have him beat him?
Because, you know, some people would go with the predictable build, the him getting his butt handed to him for, like, the last... Because he pretty much gets whooped by Lesnar in every situation. I think he low-blowed him one week, but...
Correct, which is the only way that I can... Realistically,
yeah.
See him win.
Well, you know how people are, though. Like, wins and losses, I believe they matter, but I believe they matter in the sense that a loss isn't always bad and a win isn't always good.
Timing.
But they shouldn't, but they always mean something. I think they always mean something.
Yep.
And I think, obviously, when you have, if he loses to Lesnar, he will have the love of the WWE universe forever. You know, you put on a hard-fought match, 15, 20-minute match, and you lose at the end. You know, you have that tragic ending for the hero.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Let me put it to you this way. What is going to raise Dean more? And not saying that he needs to be propped up, because I think as a face, he's outdoing Reigns right now.
It's no question.
But what is better for him? That he beats Brock Lesnar, or that he loses and yet gets Brock's respect?
Yeah. He definitely should lose, and then... And I know they don't have the patience for this, but then you build up that Ambrose main event win for next year.
Yeah.
He's close, but you got to wait. He loses here. He gains the crowd's love forever. He has their support for the rest of the year. Don't mess around with his storylines too much. Don't have him lose any meaningless matches. He can still lose. Just don't lose anything, just random losses. And you wait for next year. Maybe he goes up against Brock Lesnar again for the title. Maybe he goes up against a heel Roman Reigns. Maybe he goes up against someone we don't even... isn't even the main event scene
right
yet.
Now. But I think you do wind up elevating him.
He's close. Even our own Connor Dorian, who is not a fan of Ambrose at all, I believe tweeted out or said, or maybe texted one of us or sent a message, that he's starting to warm up to Ambrose, which is... I never thought I'd hear that.
Yeah.
He is not fond of Dean Ambrose at all.
No, and instead, like, he's got a bit of a different take, and I think it worked well with catching somebody like Brock Lesnar off guard. It just made sense.
Yep.
And I look forward to good things from that match.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's a wonderful little feud. I've got, I'm going to talk about the Triple H Reigns match, and I'm going to put as a positive and a negative. Positive in the sense that I still think it's going to be a good match. I think that their styles are going to mesh really well. And I know it's not going to match the heat of, or the quality probably of Ambrose-Lesnar, right? That's the problem. It's going to, I feel like this Ambrose-Lesnar match is going to be the match of the night and kind of gas out the crowd. I don't know if fans are going to leave. Some people are saying, like, fans will leave before the main event starts. I don't know if that's true. Like I said, I think the match will be good just from an in-ring standpoint. Now, obviously, it's a negative because the storyline is not strong. And it's very obvious that they're trying to protect Reigns from negative reactions by having him off camera for the last week or so. And I don't know how much longer they're going to keep him off, because now they're going, I think, Chicago. They're going to some pretty smarky towns, right? Towns that have not traditionally been warm to Roman Reigns. So if they think they're going to just hide him away and protect him from these crowds, I mean, that just takes away from the match even more. So I'm calling it a positive and negative. I still think it's a worthwhile main event, but I absolutely understand the skepticism and the disinterest in it. So
I'm looking forward to it. I think Taker is one of the wrestlers that can take a pounding and give it out.
What are you talking, Triple H?
Triple H. And I think him and Reigns can be able to put on that kind of show. Mm-hmm. I think very similar to what Triple H and Brock Lesnar did three times in the past.
To mixed results.
Yeah. But I think they said it can put on. I don't think it's going to be something that will be like match of the decade or anything like that. But I think it will be a good, solid match. I think they tried to build it up as they did in the past. Because, I mean, this has been going for a few months. So it's not something that's willy-nilly that they just thought up of. It's something that has progressed, him versus the Authority.
Yeah.
And I think there was a logical conclusion that it would come to an end at WrestleMania.
Well, the only thing is, it has a logical conclusion. It never had a logical start. Right? That's the fundamental flaw of this whole feud, right?
Right. Other than, you know, well, the Authority getting in his way over and over again.
But the question is, why did they get in his way? It's like there's literally no reason. He's exactly the kind of superstar, you know what I mean, that they – and we – like both behind the scenes, we know it. And also on camera, it doesn't make sense. It's like, wait, why don't they want this tall, handsome, powerful
well-built
gentleman to – there's no explanation other than the story dictates it. And we're smarter than that. We are not – you know what I mean? We can't
Agreed.
Be bamboozled that easily, right?
Agreed. So as I said, I'm – you know, looking forward to it. I wouldn't call it a negative per se. But yeah, I think it will be an afterthought.
The reaction is going to be scary. Like, if fans are not behind, like, this could be over 100,000 people booing Roman Reigns and cheering Triple H. How will that look? Like, I don't even, you know, that scares me.
Yes.
All right, Pop, what do you got? Give us another positive or negative, either one.
Negative.
Oh, boy.
It hasn't been announced yet, though. But it certainly looks like it's going towards it, and I think it's way too soon. We talked about like the Dean Ambrose situation where even if you have him lose at WrestleMania because you're projecting into the future in terms of what it can do for him for the following year. I think if you look at the Divas situation, having a triple threat match at WrestleMania right now with those three players, you're just wasting a full year of storylines mm-hmm. that can be developed between the three of them. It's way too soon, I think, to bring. I think they should have still kept Brie in there as if she wanted to. Again, I have no idea what's going on there.
Right.
But I think Brie should have faced Charlotte in the finals, maybe have her win, have her Swanson. I don't know. Something, but I think it should have still been Brie versus Charlotte at the match. Have Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks either continue with Naomi or Natalie or Tamina or whoever and have their presence there. But you should not be going into a three-way this early. I think you just wasted a grand opportunity in developing these characters and making something special for a three-way next year.
Yeah, and I think I actually had a note here, and I put next to it, I hope to be proven wrong. You know, I hope that somehow, and we know it's going to be a good match, but I hope it's a good match that also captures the audience's attention. Because, I mean, Becky and Sasha had an okay match on Monday, and the crowd just wasn't into it. I mean, that Nashville crowd wasn't into anything. And again, I don't blame them because the show was terrible, but they certainly weren't helping. That crowd, I think they hated everything. And also, that match, by the way, had a preposterous finish. I don't know if you're watching that closely.
The
sunset flip powerbomb.
Into a four-shoulder pin?
Well, I just don't know why Sasha got knocked out. The impact traveled up her spine, I guess. She landed badly, and the impact traveled up her spine and knocked her unconscious.
She's got a sensitive posterior.
She got a sensitive posterior. Maybe she got a bruised coccyx.
And when she landed on it, she went, ow.
That's really all you can say, because we've seen that move done so many times, and there's rarely that much backlash to the executor as it is. But aside from that little detail, yeah, I totally agree. There's something about the storyline that just isn't strong yet. You know, it doesn't feel, it feels like it's something we all, it's weird. It's like something we all want to see at WrestleMania someday. Of course, we're all like, oh, we want to see Becky and Sasha and Charlotte, some combination of that in a title match at WrestleMania, if not a triple threat, you know, one-on-one something. But yeah, it just feels too soon. It doesn't feel honest. You know, it doesn't feel like they've come about it in an organic way.
I was about to use the word organic, exactly. And I still think that, was it Blue Pants?
Yeah, I don't know what her situation is with the company right now.
I can't remember right now. Does she have, like, the blue hair?
Sometimes she does. She changes her hair color all the time.
Okay. Because there's something about watching the bright pink and the bright orange and throw in Eva Marie from NXT and the bright red. And I swear to God, if you get Blue Pants in there with the bright blue, they should be called Crayola Markers.
Okay.
Or Crayola Marks. I like that name.
We saw the joke on Twitter.
It was a bad joke then. It's a bad joke now. But I still like it.
The colors of their hair.
How can you not stop staring at their hair when they're wrestling?
I can't. It's frying my brain. Honestly, it's a
little, it is,
isn't
it?
A little too intense. I love colored hair. I think colored hair is cool. It's frying my... Maybe we're old, Pop. I don't know. But
it is because, like, I wish. You know, if this sort of happened when I was back in my youth, when I was, like, immature and you know, like, acid and stuff like that, it would have been incredible to watch.
5-star matches.
Not that I recommend it.
No.
However, but I can't, for the life of me, break away from the hair when I'm watching those two wrestle. I just can't.
No, and you know what? I don't blame you. And it doesn't help that JBL doesn't shut up about it. Literally, that's the only thing he talks about during the Divas matches if Becky or Sasha's involved. So the hair that he is.
Is it me or is he getting worse?
I don't want to. I had to. You know what? I'm adding it to the negatives list. I didn't want to.
Well, he's not like a WrestleMania thing, though. I don't think you can.
He might be commentating there, so it counts. He ruins everything. I think he said, I can't remember who he was talking. He was like, maybe it was Kofi Kingston or something. Like, this guy's a playmaker like Steph Curry. And I'm like, the hell does that? Why would you even bring that up? Like, don't ruin Steph Curry. Literally everything he says, he ruins it. Like, if it's something cool, if he brings it up, you're like, well, now it's lame.
Well, see, I haven't gone to that stage.
I think it was AJ or Jericho. He's like, they're a playmaker like Steph Curry. I'm like, that makes no sense.
I haven't got to that stage yet, but I just...
What a moron.
I used to like him, but now
he was
just
one of the best.
It's just like, I don't know what it is.
There was a period on SmackDown. He was amazing. He was doing amazing commentary. No dispute. I think, and this is a credit to Michael Cole, I think, you know, when you go to Raw, you get fed a lot of lines and you get asked to speak a certain way.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're getting the real JBL necessarily. And Michael Cole, again, he's really good at it. Like, I don't enjoy his commentary either, but I also know he's getting fed like a dozen things at a time. He's got to mention this. He's got to mention this. He's told to do this. He's told to do this. And for the most part, he always maintains his composure. You can't, I mean, we all know he's a corporate robot, but at least he sounds vaguely human.
Yep.
So, sorry.
It sounds genuine.
Sorry if this sounds like a backhanded compliment to Michael Cole, but I really do compliment anyone, you know, who works at this high level who's just doing their job. So, you know, Cole and JBL and Saxon, they might never be my favorite commentary team, but credit to them for keeping it together. Not credit to JBL for just being the worst person in the world, but or whoever it is that's feeding him these horrible pop culture references.
It sounds like somebody's in his ear.
Golly. It has to be, because it's just...
To improve him.
For sure, because it just comes out of nowhere. It's just like, out of nowhere, he'll make a pop culture reference. And you'll hear Saxon and Cole, it's got to be like... Like, they have no response for it. Like, I think they know, and they probably know it's coming, and they still don't know what to say to it. They're like, okay, well, oh, there's Snapmare. What do you say?
No. And that might be what's affecting Raw as well.
Pop, do you have a positive to throw out? I kind of went through my list already. I'm going to find something else, though. I think I have
Here's a positive.
Go ahead, please.
Kevin Owens will be at WrestleMania.
What will he do?
Doesn't matter. It's a positive.
It does matter.
Put it down. Mark it as a positive.
I'm putting it as a positive. That could become a negative if he ends up getting getting knocked out by Big Show.
Yeah. But like I said, having him as part of the roster, hopefully, it'll be one of those matches or events that can seal the show. But I don't think it will. Because I don't think that Kevin Owens wrestles the kind of matches that will make you remember them 30 years down. Like, he's not going to do a superfly from the top of a cage. He's not going to go through an announce table like Mick Foley did. He's not going to do those kinds of things that you spend 5 minutes picking your jaw up off the floor.
I think he may at some point. He did some crazy banana stuff on the indie scene, but I know what you mean. He right now, he's a little things guy. You know, he's a guy we appreciate. Yeah,
phenomenal
for all the little
nuances
things, right?
Here and there. He adds texture. Yeah. So many layers of texture to a match.
somewhat related to that, I'll add another positive. Like we said, we hope, and I know some people have mentioned it, that somehow he'll end up in a program with AJ Styles. But if that doesn't happen, I'm quite enjoying Y2AJ, as it were. I think it's cool. Very cool concept. I
hate the name.
I hate it, too. Like, you know, we talked about this on Twitter. I hate it, too. And yet, it's kind of...
What else are you
going to
do?
It works. It works, right? It's very silly, but it works.
Sorry to interrupt you, but what's really funny about that is watching both of them having to catch themselves as they say it. Because Y2J, I mean, we've said it for years.
Yeah.
It's Y2AJ. And you look at them at the beginning. Hopefully now they're better, but you can tell that when they paused it. That's funny.
I'm still keeping this positive. This is not negative. I'm just giving a little minor criticism that they hadn't rushed this sort of little mini New Day feud. They could still have a match at Mania, but if they do, it'll be after Y2AJ just beat them clean on Raw this past week, non-title match. Something's going to happen next week in their title match on Raw. I don't know. Maybe New Day will get their win back, but either way, it'll be like... And then I guess you just do the obligatory ladder match at Mania, but I just wish they hadn't met so many times already. I wish this is, you know, special and saved it for Mania, but they don't do that anymore. I know.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It wasn't, again, this is another one that would have been best left another time. You know, if they had brought in AJ in October and have a chance to develop it, fine. But I have no problem with the Y2AJ. Probably would have made more sense, though, if they were to fight the Dudleys, for example.
That would have been interesting.
And have somebody else feud for the titles with New Day. Who that is? Remember a few months ago we were saying how strong the tag team division was? Who do you have left to fight the New Day?
Well, we also knew, we were also, I believe when we had that discussion, also talked about the cyclical nature of, you know, we had a whole podcast with the cyclical nature of the pushing of divisions and how it just comes and goes, right?
But who else is there in tag team?
The Usos? They're still fresh.
Dunder. Yeah. Didn't buy the t-shirt. It'd be interesting to see them against our favorite faction.
The League of Nations.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know what to say.
But, I mean, to me, that's the only thing that would be left. But, yeah, there really isn't anybody else to fight.
I think we're going to see an influx of NXT teams at some point.
There's some good teams on there.
But I know what you mean. Yeah, it's there's not a lot of excitement around the division right now.
No.
Sorry, I lost the plot there for a second. Oh, yeah, okay. I got another positive.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's a positive. The WWE Hall of Fame.
Hose?
The hose. That's not a nice thing to call the Fabulous Freebirds.
The other hose?
Sting? I think the names we have so far, I believe, are Sting, Godfather, and the Fabulous Freebirds. I don't know if I'm leaving anybody out, so apologies if I am. Sorry, I'm just trying to find a list here. But Sting, obviously, as soon as they signed him last year, was a no-brainer. We all knew.
That was the whole purpose, I think.
Yes, he can join his ex-tag partner now.
He had his WrestleMania moment.
Warrior. He had his WrestleMania moment, as strange as it was. That Terminator entrance by Triple H, though, will never die. Never die.
Well, I just liked it that they turned it into an NWO versus DX. I thought that was cool.
It is only the three acts so far. Yeah, and obviously, I don't think anyone's going to dispute Sting being in there. It's obvious that the WWE is, you know, the Wrestling Hall of Fame now, right? It's not just the WWE Hall of Fame. It's the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
It is.
They've included, I believe they included a Japanese fellow a few years ago who, I don't remember if he had worked for the WWE or had never been involved in a major way with the WWE, but was such a pioneer, they said, yep, throw him in. I'm not talking about Inoki, the other guy. Also, The Godfather.
Yeah, I remember.
Now, I hope that he gets multiple inductions for his work also as... comma the ultimate fighting machine.
Mm-hmm.
A gimmick that was way ahead of its time, clearly.
Obviously.
Right? He's a pioneer. And, of course, Papa Shango.
Yes. But we all remember him most fondly for when he walked to the ring with four or five lovelies.
Boy, you want to talk about a guy making the most out of a very simple idea.
Yeah. A little bit of a sidetrack now, but Is WWE heading back towards an attitude era?
No.
There have been some language directly from Vince McMahon's mouth as referring to Shane over the last week or two.
I heard that.
That leads me to believe that the rules have been relaxed a little bit.
They're only relaxed for him. He once called Booker T the N-word on national television. I don't even remember that. And it was supposed to be funny. But I guess it kind of was in like a sad way.
Okay. I'm just saying.
The rules are always relaxed for the man's enter Triple H.
They can do
pretty much whatever they want.
You know, the blood has been upped in the last few weeks
Who was involved in that segment?
Roman Reigns and Triple H. Right. There was another one where they said that Vince McMahon wasn't happy with the amount of blood that went out there. But so I'm just throwing it out there. There's just seems to be a few more coincidences than I would think for it to be nothing at all.
It's not a coincidence. It's all McMahon stuff. They're allowed to do whatever they want to get over. No one else is, right? That's something I told you I can never stand about them. Like, as much as one thing I mentioned again on Twitter was I hate Triple H being all these things. He wants to be the corporate guy and also the badass and also funny. And you said it works. And I'm like, yeah, it does work to get him over. Like, there's a reason that in the year of our Lord 2016, he's main eventing another WrestleMania, or it looks like he's going to main event another WrestleMania. It's because I really don't think that he keeps people down on purpose. I don't believe that at all. I think he thinks that what he does is genuinely best for business. Right?
Yep.
That's their on-character slogan. But also, I think in his heart, he thinks like, I know what I can do. I know what I can control. If the company's in trouble, I'm not going to hesitate to put myself in and have a good match with this guy and put myself in the storyline. Like, and you know, I was for him winning the Rumble. I thought that was I still think that was a neat moment. I just hate that he's fallen back into the same character of like, again, he can't look weak. He's so bad at looking weak. And it's so frustrating to me. And I think he's going to have to get over that someday. I don't know if he ever will.
I don't know, but I mean, he got pummeled by Reigns.
That was a long time ago.
Few months.
And then he didn't sell it. He showed up at NXT London completely uninjured. Remember that? Imagine if any other performer had done that.
Yeah, but he didn't show up in Raw for a few weeks, if I don't recall.
But imagine if any other performer had done what he did, had gotten injured on that show, and then on a somewhat major show a few days later just showed up unhurt. They would be fired immediately. But because it's him, he's allowed to do it. That is the kind of double standard. Like, that's not a good leadership, right? You can't set that double standard. And that's, again, just one example of many times. Again, the blood thing. Like, oh, we're not allowed to use blood for angles. Okay, but I'm in it. So I need it to enhance this main event angle. And again, in his mind, he's like, it's a main event angle. It's the main event of Mania. So it's okay. And that's somewhat true, but also it also involves him.
Right.
I'm definitely behind Triple H for the NXT stuff. And I think he makes good creative decisions sometimes. It's just when he's... No one should book themselves. No one should ever be booking themselves in main event angles. It's hard to control. It's human, right? I don't blame him. I don't blame him from always making himself look strong. But it just gets tiresome to me because the authority stuff just goes on forever and ever, right? And when will they ever get their real comeuppance? Like, they occasionally get their comeuppance, but then a few months later they're back on top. So, where does it end?
Yeah, well, welcome to a soap opera.
Oh, that's which is not... I mean, that's not what it should be, right?
No, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. There was just too many McMahon segments in general on Raw, I think. Though, again, we agree, Steph's promo was very strong, especially her point about, and I think everyone is pretty behind this, like, her, like, how dare you assume that, you know, your sons are going to take over when you have me, I have daughters, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very strong point. I don't think they overdid it. You know, no. And I hope they don't overdo it in the future. I hope they don't, you know how the WWE is. I hope they don't see all the positive response and got like, oh, let's make that the theme and push it. Like, oh, no. JBL will mention it next week and it'll kill it.
5,000 times, yes.
Stephanie's a strong woman. Her daughters are going to grow up to be strong women.
She's a model for all women all across the world.
And then it's dead. Yeah. But I am very fearful for Mania with all the McMahon involvement. But this is the bed they're making, so let's hope they make the most of it, I guess. Oops, that was another negative, so there you go. Sorry, I got to throw that up there. Too much McMahon involvement. Ouch. Sorry about that. Pop, any other positive negatives you want
to
throw out
I'm
there?
I'm just trying to
build.
To think of, we touched on the Hall of Fame, we touched on some of the matches. What's happening with Bray?
did you laugh as well as I when he said, everyone I've run into, I've conquered. And it's like, you've won one feud, I think, since you've taken on this. It was so laughable. And I felt bad for him. I felt bad for him that he had to cut this dumbass promo and, like, you know, with his usual conviction, sell it. But, again, we're not stupid.
No. And I think they mishandled them again. I think they could have done something great with the Wyatt family and pushed it to limits. And, yeah, when you have them lose to Big Show, Ryback, and Kane, and then Ryback turns. I that's it.
By the way, as dumb as that turn was, I did laugh. I think you said that the real surprise of that moment was that it wasn't Big Show. So I thought that was funny.
For the 1,357th
time. And true. And even though his motivations for turning were completely nonsensical and just whatever, I'm kind of okay with where they're going with Ryback. I'm a weird Ryback supporter. Like, I shouldn't be. I know he's a dangerous wrestler. Two, he's not a particularly interesting wrestler. But for some reason, I don't know why. I just feel like there's some asset there. But it's irrational at this point. But I thought his segment with Social Outcast was okay. I thought that was all right. Showing, like, the new fierce Ryback.
No.
Did nothing for you?
Did nothing for me. Ryback has rarely done anything for me.
Yeah.
But again, getting back to the Wyatts.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of them losing?
Well, let me ask you another question. Is it salvageable? Some people are already saying he should change gimmicks. I'm like, man, when you think about it, he's only been doing this for maybe 2 years now. Is it salvageable?
I don't think it's gone. Because I still think it's a great gimmick. Yeah. I think he can do so much. I think there's still more that he can do with it. And you just look at his entrance, and you know he's got people. And I think he can put on a decent enough show, wrestling-wise, to carry it. And other than Strowman, I think most of the Wyatt family can wrestle and put on a good show. I think Strowman needs some.
You know,
some
just throw Harper in there, and you're all good in the hood.
I'm just thinking, like you said, if they want him to replace The Undertaker as the most feared, whatever you want to call it, in the WWE, then make him the most feared, whatever it is, in the WWE.
Yeah, they've done such a poor job of that. And, you know, I know, again, I had to speak for Connor here. I know he hates Bray Wyatt. He just can't. And I don't blame him. Like, again, it's a sort of thing where we compliment the concept. We compliment the man behind the concept. But the execution has just been so awful for so long that, yeah, really, I don't blame anyone who's given up and, you know, who's thrown up their hands and said, I've had enough of Bray Wyatt and no interest. Completely understandable.
No, I still want to see him do well and succeed.
I still think he could be a world champion. I think it's a world champion gimmick. It's just, gosh, the things they've done with him are so poor.
Talking about world champion.
Please.
Positive. Even if they fight nobody, the New Day.
I will say, for the first time on Raw, their promo was a little desperate. I don't remember the exact details of it, but they were, again, it feels like they didn't hit the right mix of, like, sort of video game references that Xavier Woods likes and hometown sort of, like, poking. Like, it just felt a bit off. And again, you know, I don't expect them to be on all the time, but I do worry that their character work goes a little overboard sometimes. However, I stand by what I will now hashtag every week, Big E Champion 2016. Though I should remember what I hashtagged exactly. I'll put it up on the website. Why can't this guy be the world champion someday? What's he missing? What is Big E missing? And let's, without getting too, like, political, what's this guy missing?
He's not missing anything.
He's got it all, right?
I think it's, you know, if there was anything when he first came on board, was he the bodyguard of Dolph Ziggler?
Dolph Ziggler, that's correct.
And not necessarily that did he lack persona. He was never given an opportunity for a persona.
Yeah, if you follow him online, both his Twitter, which is freaking hilarious, and some of the things he says, I'm amazed the company lets him say. Also, he had an Instagram account for a long time, and he would film these little skits with people. And the skits are so funny, but they're also very offbeat and very random. They're like, I want to say kind of like Conan O'Brien. I don't know if Conan O'Brien's kind of humor, maybe early Letterman as well. Kind of very like the humor that wouldn't translate to a mainstream program like Raw. And I thought, and I always said, man, I wish he could show that somehow, but even I am like, if he just tried to take this stuff directly and put it on Raw, it wouldn't work. So with Kofi and with Xavier, they found a way to sort of channel that, and it's just awesome. I love them.
Oh no, it's great. They both have with Xavier a great social game, but yeah, no, I we've said it before. There's no reason why he shouldn't be going forward. But even still with the tag team, I like watching them.
They're the best act on the show, best most consistent act on the show. I don't, yep. I can't imagine. There's some other, you know, there's some other people we like. Ambrose, Y2AJ, Owens, definitely.
I was about to say Owens. Yep. Owens and New Day are the two main reasons why I still watch Raw.
Yeah. And
which killed me a couple of weeks ago when they were like the first two parts. And then I went, that's it. Why am I going to watch the rest of the show for?
Let's end on a positive, though, Pop. Let's end on a positive.
This is awesome. This is awesome.
We've been talking about this so much that I feel like this was the only way to surprise you. Laura Claire James, I love you with all my heart.
Happy engagement to one Mr. Joey Ryan.
Yes.
The master of dong style. I don't know if I can say that.
apparently you can. And it was a nice little proposal.
Yes.
That he set up.
We got to see him at Smash Wrestling before, and he's such a great talent. I would love the WWE to pick him up, though obviously his act might need to be tweaked for WWE programming. But yes, I think a lot of people saw the clip last week and went viral of him proposing to his girlfriend.
And then beating her?
An intergender match. And then, cheating to beat her, which is just classic. So this is his second viral clip of the last few months. So, Joe, you know, what can you say? The guy's making his own name out there. I think it's only a matter of time. He's already worked with TNA in the past, but I think it's only a matter of time till TNA brings him back or we see him in NXT or WWE. I get the feeling he's so talented. I think he'd find a way to adapt to a completely new gimmick as well.
I agree, and I think Smash is having him soon against Scotty O'Shea.
That's right, and we'll include a clip of a very classy promo by Scotty.
Classy wasn't the first word that came to my mind.
The
let me
word
tell you.
Is in classy. The word that we're thinking of is within classy. Yes.
And doesn't Mr. O'Shea have like very little to no hair?
Well,
so I'm still trying to figure out the towel wrapped around his head.
Well, I certainly can tell you somewhere where he doesn't have much hair. I'll put it that way. You showed me the clip.
Again, you're getting me all flustered over here. Like you go places, man.
Guys, please publish this episode.
Connor, please come back. You keep him in line. Connor, please come back.
Phil, please publish this episode. I assure you, we're not being overly vulgar. We'll put the clip up. We'll put a safe for work clip of what we're talking about of the Scotty O'Shea promo versus Joey Ryan, if we can find it on the page on our website.
On Twitter,
yeah. Otherwise, again, congrats, Joey Ryan. And everyone, let's hope that there's 5 weeks of WrestleMania build. Let's hope it gets better.
Yes, it needs to.
And I'm sure Connor will join us soon. But otherwise, thank you everyone for listening. and keep on supporting independent wrestling and any wrestling that you happen to enjoy. Put it out there. You know, let people know what you think. Let your friends know what you watch. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Laters.